Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast today. So today I got a very special friend of mine, and his name's Jason Denham. He's been on the podcast before. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, but I ain't going to spend a lot of time introducing him. I'm going to let him introduce himself. So welcome to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast again, Jason Denham.
Good morning, Mr. Matt. Good morning, man. It's a real pleasure to be on your platform again. Real honor to be at Zach, man, to be on your platform. Good morning, everybody. Good out there across the world.
Yeah, man, it's good to have you back on. I got my notes here. You were on in July 28th in 2019, and then also April 17th, 2020. So any of my listeners, after they hear your story today, if they want to go back and check you out, those episodes are 133 through 135, and then also 173 on my podcast. And so anybody can check that out. And if you're listening to the audio version of my podcast and you're not familiar with my Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel, this video, we're actually making a video, and it's going to be on the Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel as well. So if you're a regular listener, you can go actually watch this and see it visually so you can see how handsome Jason Denham is over there and how ugly I am.
Come on, Mr. Matt.
So it's cool, man, to have you back on. I speak about you all over the country. So there's going to be some people who follow me who heard me talk about you probably, and now they get to see you. They might have heard you on my podcast, but they actually get to see you. And, you know, I've been mentoring you. I met you back in 2013 and been mentoring you ever since. And it's been phenomenal to watch you grow. You're doing the stuff I talk about and write about like nobody else I know. So, and you were new at Kilgore. Last time we spoke was again in April 2020. You had only been there like 6 months or something. So you got nearly 4 years of catching up to do. So tell us what you've been doing the last 4 years since you started. You know, what do you do?
Yes, sir, Mr. Max. So it's been a long time. Like I said, 4 years of growth here at Kilgore. Been a real honor. First, I thank God, and you know, I thank you and Rhea for y'all support, my wife and family and kids, you know, to help me get to where we're at, and most importantly, my team members. You know, we've built a great team here at Kilgore, Mr. Max, since in these last 4 years. I take a lot of pride in the team we have in place. We have a lot of high character individuals here at Kilgore. So, as you mentioned last time we spoke, I was just getting started over at Kilgore. So, of course, I took a leap of faith to join Kilgore, starting a brand new division up here in Dallas, Texas. We had no office. We had nothing. I was working from home for the first couple of months, sending out estimates, trying to get some traction on the ground. But we was blessed to win some projects pretty quickly and started hitting the ground running pretty fast over here at Kilgore. That was a blessing, I think, you know, team members for that. And then, you know, after 2020, that's when COVID hit, Mr. Mack, and man, the world started slowing down.
Right after you got to Kilgore, COVID hit.
Yeah, right. So I got to Kilgore August 2019.
And what did they hire you in, Jason? You got hired as vice president of electrical construction.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Hired to start the Dallas Electrical Division. Yes, sir.
Basically from scratch.
Yes, sir. From scratch with no
employees, no sales.
No employees, no sales. No, sir.
You was a one man team.
One man team at first. Yes, sir. Okay. I hired two people in about 2 weeks. So it was a 3-man team.
And then COVID body slammed you right off the bat. Said,
yes,
check
sir.
This out.
The whole world slowed us down. So, but it was a good thing, Mr. Mack, that was a small group coming through that, and was a growing group. And I think that you know, me and you had a lot of conversations and me coming over here and how I could start off with a character-based foundation here in Kilgore with my group. I look back 4 years later now thinking that's the best decision we made coming in, setting the foundation on character while building this great organization that I think we have today and that we're continuing to build. You know, coming in, I know we talked a lot about, you know, getting the books, information, getting character development information into the team. You know, so a lot of interviews I did with some of the top people I got in my organization today. The interview consisted of giving me one of your books, Mr. Matt.
Yeah.
You know, and giving me feedback, you know, use that through the interview process and set a foundation and an expectation that this would be the bar at Kilgore if you came to Kilgore. And this would be an expectation that you grow not only in your competency, but in your character. You know, I know so many organizations preach on the competency side, you know, the skill side, you know, how the processes, how to do this and how to do that. Well, we do those too. Everybody do those though, you know, but what we do differently and what I started building this team with differently was just the character piece. Do a lot of character development for our team. We interview, our interview process is a character-based interview. We understand the competency side and the skill side, and we check the boxes on those, but we more dig deep into the character side of the interview, ask questions, you know, family questions. We want to see what type of person you are that we're bringing to our organization, because we try to build a high-quality product, Mr. Mackey. You know, the sum of the character is equal to the bottom character you accept in your organization.
Yep.
You know, so you got to keep that real high, you know, and knowing what you accept at the bottom is accepted by all in your organization. So you got to keep that in mind as a leader of an organization to keep the bar high and make sure your team is progressing and not being held down by someone with bad character. But the interview process with Smack started good, man. We did a lot of character-based interviews, had a lot of great team members. Rolling in 2020, as I said, COVID hit. And in August 2020, I get a call from Jeff Kilgore, and he says, Jason, and we've been doing pretty good in Dallas. So didn't do, you know, multi-millions, but, you know, a few millions of dollars pretty quickly, that was able to bring on board and profitable work. And I get a call from the Kilgores in August 2020, COVID going on, you know, Houston market.
You've been there about a year at that time.
Yeah, yes, sir, about a year this time. And the Houston market was not doing good. I mean, the person, great guy, not say anything bad about him, great guy. You know, the market was just rough in Houston. They couldn't ever get anything off the ground. So I got that phone call to take over the whole state, Mr. Matt. Jeff and Ken called me and asked me if I want to take the reins on the full state of Texas on the electrical department. So that within a year of being here, I got a chance to take a little bigger bite of the apple, Mr. Matt, a little bit more responsibility. So I'll go from being a Dallas, Texas leader to the whole state of Texas.
That's a big state.
Texas is a big state, Mr. Matt. It's a big state. You know, I got Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin. You know, those four cities are, I think, in the top 12 largest cities in the United States, all four.
Wow.
So four of the top 12 is a pretty good footprint. And then with the territory in Texas, it's a lot of territory to cover, Mr. Matt.
It's a lot.
Yes, sir. It's a lot of territory. So of course, I called my wife, Mr. Mack, and I said, I told Jeff first. I said, I got to talk to my wife about this because I'm a family man. You know, I've been with my wife, you know, going on 22 years this year.
That's so outstanding.
I always got to make a family decision when any decisions are made like that. And so I called her and she was like, well, you know what I'm going to do? Am I staying at home or I'm going with you? So I ain't even answer her question. You know, I hung out, I said, I'll call you back. And I called Jeff back. I said, look, Jeff, I accept your offer if my wife can go with me. I know most people in my position don't have that privilege. And I thank God and the circumstance allowed me to have the position. But Jeff said, okay, no problem. So I'm thankful now. My wife, she has her own business. She does eyelash extensions. She does very well doing that. But she books her schedule around my schedule because she works for herself. So yeah, She's able to travel with me wherever I go, kind of help me out with driving, my true partner. I thank God for it, Mr.
I guarantee you. She allows you to be much more productive, I guarantee you, than if you were by yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She does total sports. She drives for me, and I'm on the passenger side with my, you know, laptop. If we're flying in the air, she gets to sleep then, and but she ain't driving. And I'll be still in there on my computer in the air, Mr. Mack, on the plane.
I know she's a blessing to have with you. That's awesome that Jeff is cool with that, and it's awesome that she wants to do it and you want to do it. That's awesome.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So of course, I accepted, Mr. Mack, and And that's when, you know, I hit the reset button on the whole lesson department here in Kilgore. You know, I speak a lot about character, but I started implementing a lot of processes and procedures on top of the character foundation here at Kilgore. We had to implement a lot of processes and procedures, and we micromanage those things only. We don't micromanage people, you know. So we micromanaged our processes and procedures, and we led our people, and we kept doing that, and we've grown to several millions of dollars of backlog right now. In the electric department, and we continue to grow. I think Jeff said for the last 2 years, our department leads the growth in revenue for the year, you know, wow. And then achieve, you know, the great profitability that we did this year with the team was a true award. I preached my team in the first year to try to win to the Super Bowl, you know, put a campaign on, try to get the team to the Super Bowl. So
how big is your team now?
So Mr. Mack, now my teams, I think I'm up to about total field guys with subs that are used to probably around about 160, 67 team members.
You grown a little since it was a one-man team.
Yes, sir. Grown a little bit. And the best highlight out of that, I think, out of that, everything's all good. But, Mr. Mack, we got 26 master electricians work for us.
Wow.
And most companies don't hire master electricians. Because they can own their own business. They can open up their own business. But my mindset is I preach all the time on the character, but I want a very high competency person too. And I do understand that, you know, with high competency, you know, it's usually some high character built in that of the person that's driven themselves, self-invested in self to achieve a high level. You know, some character in that somewhere. Now, whether it be higher than the competency or not, that's undetermined. Yeah. You have to figure that out. But I do know it's some type of high degree of character that drives a person to achieve the highest level they can achieve in whatever trade that their career path is in. So that's why I look forward to those individuals and I hire them and can thankfully say that every project that Kilgore Industry touches has a master electrician involved in it. That's the competency piece. It's always important too, Mr. Mack. That you got to have. And I truly think building foundational character of character and interviewing those high level individuals with a character type interviews and let them know we're more of a character type company allows such high level individuals come together and with the same purpose, because we kind of aligned in our mindsets on the end goal, you know, and we want to win together. We want to win together, Mr. Mack.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And for the folks who don't know, who haven't listened to the other interviews with Jason, when I met you, you were not a vice president leading 160 something people, right? You were a superintendent leading how many people back in 2013 when I met you?
So 2013, Mr. Mack, I'll let y'all superintendent probably had about six or seven guys.
Six or seven people reporting to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, and the reason I want to bring that up, because you do value character development, personal development, competency development, all that stuff. But you've had a lot of that happen in the last 11 years since we've known each other. I mean, you've been a student of leadership. You've been trying to implement leadership everywhere you went, because you left that company and you had two or three other companies before you landed at Kilgore. But you made it stick at Kilgore.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's a true blessing. That's why I thank God for Jeff Kilgore, Mr. Mack. Jeff Kilgore, man, that guy right there, man, I run through a brick wall for Jeff. You know, because I mean, he's such a high level character individual, and he don't let his title go to it. I mean, he speaks to you as a person. He don't speak to you as the CEO and a team member. You know, he speaks to you as a person, and he values people at a very high level. That's why I love Kilgore. Kilgore values people at a high level, and that's what attracted me. You know, Jeff Kilgore attracted me with your introduction to Kilgore. You know, I did a series of books, and through my interview process with him, it's the most, you know, the different interview I've ever been in my life. You know, I read a series of books through my interview and I replied back with a response. And then I got an offer, you know, from Jeff. So great, great guys. Thank high level. I said, I thank God for him. And I thank God for the platform he allows us to do it here at Kilgore. You know, we just got finished with a great leadership development class this morning that, you know, we probably had 80 people, you know, in the organization. We got family members, we got kids, we got wives. We're having a family day here at the office today, Mr. Mack. You know, the guys brought the cookers from home doing fish fries and got grills out there, hamburgers, hot dogs. We got Joni out down the guitar singing. So, I mean, they're having a real good time, Mr. Mack, and it's a blessing to be able to come together as an organization, you know, and pull people together and really value people. That's when people really come together. And I think that's when you have a real strong team, when you can pull people together and they know you really sincerely value them.
Yeah, man, that's a big deal. And for folks who don't listen or don't know, you know, Jason's talking right now. He's saying out there, they're out there doing a fish fry, like right now while we're recording this video, right? So Rhea and I joined him. Jason does, and he's been doing this for years. I'll let him tell you more about it in just a second. But Jason's been doing this for years. The first Saturday of every month, Jason leads his team. He volunteers to lead an hour and a half from 9 to 10:30 Central. He leads and facilitates a book study. And most of the time it's on our books. Every now and then it's somebody else's books that you go through. He usually covers three chapters from our books. Most of our books are 30 chapters, three pages each. So they're perfect for this scenario, the size of the chapters. And we were just on there like 30 minutes ago. We were on video. You're actually in Texas, but your team was there. And today, and you have people online. And then today, after they got done, they're doing the family day. And they're going to be doing that for the next few hours. And so tell the folks, because I talk about book studies, and I know you open it to anybody. So Rhea's running our show right now, so if she can pop up the your email address. Anybody who listens to this, who wants to join your Saturday sessions, you don't mind, right? So I'll let you take over from here. But there's your email. Anybody could request for you to add them to your email list, and they'll get an invitation to see what you're doing. Even if they don't want to come every month, they can get on there once and like see what you're doing, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah, we open it up to the whole world, Mr. Mack. Anybody wants to join us, we started this drip because one of my guys, Michael Tim. He was just accepted into a big program, nationwide program. I'm so proud of him. I just announced that today. But this guy, you know, helped start this book study, you know, probably looking at about eight, maybe 7 years ago, Mr. Mack. Now.
A different company.
At a different company, you know, okay. Which I started at a different company and it was a fight at the company, Mr. Mack. As I told you, you know, once I left the company that brought in you at Auburn Electric, you know, I thank God for Greg Lanier and that day and yep. Those funds and resources spent to get you in there.
Yeah, back in 2013.
Back in 2013, you know, I always thankful for that. But, you know, Greg had a dream, Mr. Mack, but to do what we're doing, it takes everybody. You know, starting at the top, but it's got to flow all the way down. You know, if it hits some obstacles in the middle, it stops it. You know, the water can't flow through if it's hitting obstacles, goes around and just gets all messed up. So, you know, that since then, I never had anybody till I got to Jeff Kilgore invest, you know, in the people in that way. So I'm forever grateful for Greg Lanier for that investment. But, you know, I went to another big contractor out here to hire me. You know, I brought you out there, Mr. Matt. You came out there and drove all the way out there. He said, and we talked to them and nothing ever happened.
They were, you know, not interested.
Not interested. You know, they shut me down, Mr. Mack. And then we go to, you know, the other company I work for and they shut me down. But one day, this guy named Michael Tim, he went to the owner and said, I need some leadership development. And when he did that, the owner sent him to me.
Because he knew you were into this.
Yeah, he knew I was into it, Mr. Mack, and I can honestly say, you know, I've said it on even on my Christmas speech. You know, that really changed my life that day. You know, that was a turning point in my life that I never knew that I'd be sitting, you know, 80, 90 to sometime 100 people in that very class years later down the ride, you know, all over the United States, you know. So we started doing that class, and it just started with two people over there, me and Michael. Yeah. And then we added Nick Mitten and Josh and some of all the guys that are still with me today, you know, started coming to the class. And when we came over here, a lot of those people that end up coming over here with me was those people in that class.
They followed you. Follow the leader, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I would say, so now the class is just a book study. It started off as a small group, but like I said, now it's a national group. We have some great people from the city of St. Pete. On the call, we have people in Georgia. We have people in California. We have people all over the United States, Mr. Mack. Now it logs in with us and invests in themselves about an hour and a half every first Saturday of the month. It's a true blessing. I thank God for it. That we can come together and all like minded. And what I do, I still do the book study format. We go over three chapters of the book, and then we have dialogue after every chapter. Obviously, with that many people, everybody don't get a chance to speak, but mainly all the volunteers, they volunteer to speak, and we call on them. And the comments that come out of the studies is what really helps the people, Mr. Matt, because when they hear the comments from other person's comments, they be like, dang, okay, well, that's me too. I feel the same way. And it helps empower them to know it's hope. You know, it gives them hope, Mr. Mack, that this can be better and we got a better way and we can, and we're all going through the same fight. You know, we just got to keep aligned with our mindset, with the positivity and try to do the right thing all the time. And no, we ain't perfect. No, we will fail sometimes. But as long as we constantly try to do the right thing all the time, then we'll have a better life. And that's what we're promoting to our chapter today, being intentional, you know, with character development. I think that's the single most important thing an organization has to do with the people is be intentional with character development. What we did today for our team members, Matt, was an intentional developing our team. But not only developing our team, for our invites goes out to families. We got teenagers in class, got kids, we got, you know, husband, wives. I mean, we truly, generally want to have better people, develop better people, and invest in our people. Because we do know in turn, if we have better people on our team, then obviously we have a better product for our customers.
Absolutely.
And everybody has a better life.
That's right. And, you know, it's powerful what you're talking about. So I want you to help me help my audience right here because, and you know this, you know, I mean, again, when I met you, that's 11 years ago, you were a superintendent of 6, 7, 8 people, something like that. You were a blue collar guy. You're still a blue collar guy, even though you're sitting in the big office now. And you're still a blue collar guy. I always tell people, you don't take that out of anybody. Anybody who's a blue collar guy, they're going to be blue collar guy no matter what they wearing, what they driving, where they sitting. None of that matters. But I hear a lot of leaders that I talk to who want to do our book deal. I mean, you've taken advantage of the book deal. You've ordered thousands of books for your team over the 4 years. And just to catch everybody up, the reason you know about Kilgore is Jeff Kilgore, the CEO, brought us in to speak for a day and a half to his team back in 2018. And I learned about Jeff's character, like you're talking about. And he was talking about needing to develop the Dallas Electrical Division. And I said, I know a guy, Jason Denham in Dallas. I said, I don't know his competency because I don't know nothing about electrical work, but I know about his character because I've been mentoring him. You know, at that time it was 6 years I had been mentoring you. But I get a lot of people, Jason, a lot of leaders of blue collar organizations at all different levels. They'll tell me these folks, blue collar people, don't want to read books. They don't care nothing about reading a book. But you read a lot of books and you bought a lot of books. Are you just throwing them books in the garbage? Nobody wants to read them. Is them people right that's telling me that? What's your opinion on blue collar folks don't want to read a book?
Well, I think they don't know the people, Mr. Bat. You know, I think they really don't know the people. I even tried. You know, a lot of leadership development is an unknown charted ground for a lot of companies because they never tried it. And Mr. Matt, companies looking for instant investment, instant just gratification. You know,
yeah.
I buy leadership. I want instant results on my bottom line right now. But Mr. Matt, it's 4 years later, and we see a lot of results. We see on the foundation. You know, we're a profitable group here in Kilgore. We are actually an organization inside Kilgore where electrical never really was made it, you know, and our group has made it. And it's through investment setting the foundation on character development. And like you said, Jeff Kilgore, he had bought thousands of books before you even made an introduction. And that's how you made the introduction. So Jeff's mindset, you know, our Kilgore's purpose is to win together by providing the greatest opportunity for personal growth and the best value and experience for our customers. So that's Jeff Kilgore and Ken Kilgore's mindset. They want to invest in the people. They know if we invest in our people, then we have a good experience. Our clients, it's just a big circle, Mr. Mack. So for anybody that don't think investing in blue collar people is missing, and it's making it whoever does easier differentiation on the competition. I have team members. Am I going to sit here and tell you every one of my team members love to read? No, I'm not going to tell you that. But it's not about that, Mr. Man. It's about the ones who do. You can recognize the ones who are your rise stars, who you do promote. You know, everybody ain't gonna, you know, sit down and read and give you follow-ups and raise their hand in class and speak. But that's okay. They get the nuggets and they move on. But at the same time, the ones that do, that grab it, those are your rise stars. Those are the guys you promote to your foremans, your superintendents, your project managers, your VPs, because they have it and they can help you spread the word to the other individuals. Long as our team gets it and they know our morals and align with our mindsets, Mr. Mack, they don't have to raise their hand. But long as they know what we will accept and won't accept inside our organization, you know, that's the key piece to it. You know, I don't allow, you know, any individuals to verbally abuse any other individual with words that are colorful. We don't use those words directly at other team members here at Kilgore. That's a non-negotiable for me because we're treated by respect, you know. And then tied to the books, Mr. Mack, is a lot of times, sometimes it's not the team members that buys in. It's the team member's wife. And then when I get the team member's wife to buy in, guess who else buys in? The team member. You know, so we reach out and do other things, and we provide a learning environment for the whole family. You know, I think that's an important piece. But to not invest in your blue collar leaders, and I think that's a loss, Mr. Mack. I think it's truly a loss. And I do know my advice to anyone who hasn't, give it a try. But don't give up easy. You know, it's going to take a couple years, but it'd be the best investment you ever made long term, because it's going to create a foundation that's so solid that you can build an empire. You can build a world-class organization on the foundation of character-based principles.
Absolutely, man. And when you're talking about developing these folks, it ain't just your formal authority leaders you're developing, right? It's everybody at every level in every office. If they were they in the office or were they in the field, if it doesn't make, it's everybody, right? Your 167 people, it's available to everybody.
Yes, sir. Everybody from top down, especially with the platform. You know, the Blue Collar Leadership Academy, you know, we have, you know, several of your books in there that's available 24/7 to our team members, Mr. Mack, to develop, you know, from every level, top to bottom. Of course, as you get higher up in organization, I have a little higher expectations for development. One good thing I do, Mr. Mack, that we had talked about a while, probably the most important 2 hours I spend a week with my team is chopped up in 30-minute increments. And in any 30-minute increments, I do a book study with my team.
It's separate from your monthly Saturday. This is a different thing you're talking about now.
So the monthly Saturday is a volunteer class.
Everybody volunteers.
It's expected, but it's a volunteer class. No one gets paid for that class. You know, they come, you know, and you don't get nothing happens if you don't because it's not a mandatory class. Still have real high participation. But during the week, actually on the clock, I still invest in my people as well. So I have 4 meetings a week with every office individual that works in the last department, from pre-com, estimating, my service department, my QAQC department, my safety department, my project managers, and my general superintendents. So these people lead the organization. So I personally invest 30 minutes in each of those groups every week, and I do a more personalized book study on what you really preach on the book studies. You know, small group, everybody gets a chance to talk. So I provide both of those opportunities as well. So in that class, with each class, I do one chapter and everybody around the room goes and speak, and it's more personalized and people feel a little more comfortable talking, as you see, because you're in a smaller group. You know, sometimes on these Saturday classes, I got, you know, 100 people. Some people don't want to talk, but that's okay. You know, they're talking when I get in these smaller classes, and everybody kind of expecting talking. Everybody opens up in those classes. So I do a leadership topic, and then I do a roadblock. I ask my team members what roadblocks you have. And I have a list in my notepad of roadblocks, and I go through, and that's what I do. I try to clear my team's roadblocks so they can be successful.
And that's awesome. So I know currently on your Saturday classes, you're going through Rhea's new book, The Ladder of Influence, 5 Steps for Climbing to the Next Level and Beyond. But you also just finished covering that book with your team in those 4 book studies you were doing during the week on the clock. How did you see, like, from the time you started that book study? Because that was the first book study you did like that with your team, was that book, right?
Yes, sir.
So how did you, what, what's, how did you see the team evolve during, because you said that's the most important 2 hours you spend each week are those four 30-minute book studies. What happened throughout those book studies during that time going through that book that makes you say that's the most important? What is it?
I think, Mr. Mack, it's just my team members understanding my other team members. You know, we get all together in the groups of peers they work with. We all subject, you know, we all question, we all vulnerable, we all come in there and we being ourselves, Mr. Mack. And we're aligning our mindsets. You know, those 30 minutes allows me to allow my team's mindset in the same direction. And as you know, if you got the factory, you're trying to move the sprocket. You know, we're trying to move the sprocket and get it rolling. Well, the more people we got pushing in the same direction, the faster our sprocket can go. With resistance, people not going the same direction, or people going left or right and not pushing forward, we don't have the impact. So I think the alignment that I create, that we create in those meetings with our mindsets, and then the understanding of each individual in the room, is a whole lot easier to work with individuals, a whole lot better team atmosphere when we can understand everybody we work beside.
That's pretty powerful right there, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah, so that's awesome to hear. So when you're talking about those people being aligned, something else that I tell potential clients, once my clients are doing it like you, they understand it. And I say this a lot, but I want to hear it from you. And I don't know if I've ever asked you this question, but I want you to share it because I know what the answer is probably going to be. But I want you to share it more for potential clients, other people out there that may hear this, because what I'm about to tell you, everybody has this problem everywhere that's not doing this type of leadership development. But through these book studies, the ones you do during the week, does that get rid of some of the silos between different groups? Because everybody's always talking about these silos. And I tell them, you start doing book studies, you got to start getting people to talk. These walls come down between people, even in different places. I'd say add into your Saturday class. Like, you've got people from Austin, from San Antonio, from Houston to Dallas. You got people from all over who don't really know each other, but they start to know each other. Can you speak to that? How this kind of development gets rid of these silos and the walls and all that stuff between people?
Absolutely, Mr. Mack. That's what I was just speaking on, alignment. So I'm glad you mentioned that. As I previously stated, I lead the whole group of Texas. So I got PMs in Houston, Central Texas, North Texas. I got general superintendents in all those areas. You know, I got pre-con all over. So when they come together in these groups, they align. That's how we align in between. And then on Saturdays, we align as the families in a group and as even a bigger group. So providing so many opportunities for the alignment between the team members. On a character development call that they're getting paid for through the week, it tells them that we invest in y'all to be better people on the clock, and we're paying y'all to be better people. But in turn, it just creates a great environment for the team members to get to know each other, as I spoke previously before. And doing so, the silos disappear, Mr. Mack. It's no walls. I mean, everybody, I got my Dallas guys, they call Houston. They got, you know, Houston calls San Antonio. My Houston guys go to San Antonio to help out. I mean, total team collaboration between the groups, because we're aligned in our mindsets.
So I may have not realized, if I just understood what you said right. So your weekly 30-minute calls, you're actually getting on video calls with some people. So there'll be project managers from three different cities that are on one team, one group with you, one meeting.
Yes, sir.
How many people may be on those four 30-minute book studies you do each week? What's the kind of spread of how many people are on each call?
So the minimum groups is probably around seven. And I got one group that got up to about 14, so I could probably have to split it out. You know, you try to keep those groups smaller right now, Mr. Mack.
Okay.
But obviously, I'm probably going to have to bump out another one. But I'll do that once we start a book, so I won't recreate, break up the learning process. I try to keep everybody on track the same. But I say the smallest group is seven, and my largest group is about 14 currently.
Okay. I always thought when you were telling me you were doing that, I thought y'all were doing it like in your office. Everybody was from the same place in the same office.
Yes, sir. Okay. We're doing this nationwide thing. That creates that lineman that I need to break the silos. That some
absolutely.
I mean that you're talking about people telling you about.
Yeah.
You know, if I would do it in the space just at the office, you know, I just need to be. You know, if you're trying to create your whole team alignment, then you need to involve the whole team.
That's
you know,
right.
Peers of all likes. So if you got an office in all 50 states, you need to have a representative from all 50 states on that call. You know, to try to create that alignment, all of them there together to remove the silos. Because once they understand each other and understand everybody's just people, and it ain't nothing else, just reach out to this person. This person actually is a good person. This person actually has a wife and kids too. You know, reach out to this person. This person can help you out, and it just removes those barriers and it creates an open line of communication, Mr. Mack. That's unparalleled to anything I've seen.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, and most companies don't have that right there. They don't even know how to get rid of these silos. And I'm trying to tell them all the time, do leadership development, do cross-functional book teams. So let me ask you this too. It's a different spin kind of on the same thing, but at the same time, it may be addressing both things. So a lot of companies, they have the office folks and they have the field folks. So does the 4 30-minute sessions take care of getting rid of the office folks and the field folks silos? Or is it the Saturday session, or is it still both? Because people who don't go out in the field, your folks may go out in the field if they work in the office, but some folks just stay in the office or they just stay in the field. But do you see this bringing those two groups together also?
Absolutely, Mr. Mack. One way to do that. So we do several different things. So we spoke about two already. We taught Saturday class, do a class with all my office individuals. But every one of my superintendents, and the superintendent for an electrical construction company, is the leader of a job site. So every one of these have my toolbox tip talks that you've written, and we do that toolbox tip. And I ask my leaders to go out and participate in that toolbox talks. So we have every Monday morning they have a safety and a leadership training. So we do one part safety, and then we do a chapter of a book. And we automatically talk about it. We do that on every one of my job sites, Mr. Mack. So that's the drip on the job sites, you know, the constant drip. The drip's in the office, it's the office meetings. And then the one that brings it together is the Saturday class and the family events. So that's how I kind of bring everybody together, because they get to come in and meet me and the other guys, and we shake hands and we sit out and talk and we eat a piece of fish together. And, you know, everything is great. Then everybody feels part of the team. So it's not that difference guard, and we get in the same context. Getting the same character development, so it creates that alignment throughout the whole company, like that. So yes, sir, that's how we tie the two is with those leadership drips on the toolbox talks. So I would encourage any construction company, any company. Mr. Mack has a toolbox tip talks, and it's real short, one pagers. Your team can do it. It's a great investment for your team. It costs you probably 10 minutes once a week if you do one, and I guarantee you. That drip every week will eventually erode into your team and create the more better culture.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool that you do that. And I wrote the second book for you because you got finished with the first book. And what Jason's talking about is Blue Collar Leadership Toolbox Tips. And subtitle is 60 Micro Lessons to Maximize Your Influence. And I wrote it just for that reason. It takes to literally read the content in one tip is 45 to 60 seconds, you know, less than a minute. You know, it takes 10 minutes up to 10, like you're talking about, because people are talking about it. They're discussing it. And for the audience that's listening, what that does is you got that constant drip of raising people's awareness, mindset, trying to just a little drip. They get the books, like you get the books and pass them out. So let me ask you this, because as soon as we come out with our Blue Collar Leadership Academy, where we created basically 7.5-hour online video courses for our books, You jump right on that thing. Like you said, that was a high value for you, because it is a ridiculous deal for anybody who don't know about it. They can go to bluecollarleadership.com/academy and learn about what we're talking about. But you enrolled into the all access, so your team can have at any time, anybody at any level on your team can access any of these video courses, and they get a fill in the blank and they get a certificate at the end. And you guys, we've only just been doing that a couple of months, but you already got 20 something people, I think, enrolled. You got some folks already finished the four courses we've got finished at the moment. And then you're going to also use that as part of your orientation. Can you just talk about you as a leader, a VP of electrical construction company, why do you value? Because you jumped right on. You know me, I don't sell stuff. I just tell people it's available. If you're interested, jump on it. I didn't try to pressure you to buy it. I never would. But you jumped right on it. What was it about that you saw such value in?
Well, it's back to just providing a platform for my team members that they can have access to at a time. You know, they said in the house, but they said at home, they could do it at home. And the thing, just investing in the team. You know, to find them a platform where they can continue to develop. You know, why not develop your team at a character at a high level? Why not have a team? Who doesn't want team members with high character? Everybody wants team members high character, but a lot of people don't want to do what it takes to get that character, help develop that character. You know, that's the piece. Like I talked about earlier in this interview, it's not instant. You know, it don't happen overnight. It's a drill. It's constantly. You constantly go. And it's a fight, Mr. Mac. I'm telling you, it's a fight. Anybody out there, it's not easy, right? But nothing where we do it the top season. But I can tell you it's a whole lot easier doing it than not doing it, you know, in your team. And you're going to have a whole lot less drama and backstabbing and stuff like that in your organization. You know, you're going to have enough external problems coming at you in business not to have internal problems inside your organization. So the platform was a no-brainer for me in the orientation piece of it. It allows when new team members come in, they get a real dose of where we're at and the expectation and the bar for character here at Kilgore. You know, I told you how many team members we got now, Mr. Mack. It's getting kind of hard for me to sit down and give my speech to everybody. Yeah. You know, so this helps me out develop my team when I can't be right out doing it. You know, I won't never, as long as God willing, I won't never go away from my Saturday classes. But, you know, this allows me to have another drip and allows my team members to see face with you and Miss Rhea, and y'all take them through the leadership academy, and it's great for my team. I've got great feedback so far from it, and even like Nick Mitten, you know, he's done finished all of them, and he got a lot out of it.
That's outstanding. So, are you still planning on new people? Like when a new employee comes in, you had mentioned. I know this is all new and it's just happening. It maybe not even happened yet because it's just become available not long ago, but you were talking about all new employees may have to go through the blue collar leadership leading from the front line, that 7.5-8 hour course as part of their orientation, no matter what level they're at, before they even go join your team, before they even go to work. Are you still going to do that? And if so,
that would be part of the onboarding process. You know, that's what I speak about. So during the onboarding process, we have several training, which we try to train all our team members for whatever they need before we send them out to the field. We do, of course, the Kilgore orientation. We do the hot work training. And I want to do the blue collar leadership training for just everybody that comes in at entry level. That's all entry level individuals. And then we got the teamwork book and the culture book and the other books that we're going to go over with the higher level individuals. And that'll be required for them to come in. So we kind of set the bar for expectation with the team members of what we – it gives them a really deeper dive of what they're coming into. And being supposed to. Yes, sir.
Okay. So something else I talk about, and you do this phenomenally well, and I talk about you all over the country. You understand this principle. And as soon as I say it, you're going to know probably two or three different ways to talk about it, but I'm going to turn you loose here in a second. But I talk about word of mouth advertisement for the individual, you know, for my company, meaning me. I teach that in that front lines book. I need to lead my way that I care what people are saying about me because they're advertising for me, my business. But at a high level, which is where you're at relative to the organization, I talk about word of mouth. What are the people out there saying? Because in my blue collar leadership and culture book, I teach that, right? How do you become the sought after employer of choice in your industry? And one thing I hear, Jason, is from construction folks especially, but it's everybody. We just can't find good people. There ain't enough people and all that. And I know I mentor you and talk to you a lot. Every month we talk, sometimes every week. And you always telling me, like you told me the other day, I got 40 resumes. Not just 40, that's all you got. That's 40 that you actually want to hire. You got a lot more than that, I'm sure. So how do you talk to that a little bit about how what you've done there in the last 4 years, how when you who you are is helping you attract people? And then when you get those high caliber, meaning high character and high competency, but high character most of all, that they learn what y'all are doing, and then they go tell everybody else where they come from, and you just talk about that.
So it's truly amazing to see it unfold, Mr. Matt. It says, like I told you, we planted the foundation. You know, we built the foundation here in Kilgore on character development. So, you know, in them Saturday class, a lot of the interview processes, a lot of the higher level individuals I've hired here at Kilgore has accepted the offer right after that Saturday leadership class. So, you know, I tell them about us, what we're doing, you know, and it takes a lot as you're building an organization to attract some high level individuals from another organization. You got to be doing something different, Mr. Mack. You know, if you're doing the same thing, you know, paying a little bit more money, they might not come. But if you're doing something totally different, you know, outside of what everybody's doing, it kind of attracts them. So I have some high level individuals that came to class and they said, oh, this is what I want to be a part of. You know, this is how I want to feel when I come to work. This is how I want to be treated when I come to work. And they chose to as Kilgore's employment. So being able to attract those high level individuals. And then, of course, they was already currently employed where they was working. And they get to work. The word goes back like, man, you know, they treat you like people over here. You know, you're not a number over here. You know, and people don't want to be a number. This and that. Everybody wants to be treated like a person. So some people will come to your company for the same pay as they're making in another company, as long as you treat them like a person. You know, that's all people want to do. They want to go home happy. You know, they don't want to leave work mad all the time. So being able to hire some of those individuals, we got, like you said, several resumes. I think we done hired a bunch of people. I don't know if we got 40 online right now, but I know we got at least up to 20 sitting on the sideline ready to come on board. And all of them are from people who was inside the organization, know and refer to high level. Because when you build a foundation on character, you hire people on character, they know what you're about as an organization, they come to your organization, and then they get here and they reach back out and tell everybody else, look, this is what it is over here, it's different from over there. And then the floodgates open, Mr. Mack. They want to come, and you got to, you know, cipher through and set them on the bench a while, and, you know, still involvement. We still involve everybody in leadership classes. Just say, look, once the seat comes available, you'll be next in line. But don't stop investing in it. And most importantly, Mr. Mack, we start investing in them before they even start working for us, you know, with the character development.
Yeah, because I know I get on those calls, and I see people who are actually, if I ain't mistaken, you know, but I'm going to just say it. You correct me if I'm wrong, but I've seen people on your calls that are competitors. I think they work at your competitor, but the competitor ain't doing this, but you're doing it. And somehow you got a relationship with them. You say, hey, and you ain't necessarily trying to steal them away. You might, they might decide they want to come. You might decide to make them an offer, but you're just doing it to help them as people. You don't care where they work, right?
Yes, sir. We don't care where to work, Mr. Mack. And you know what you taught me a long time ago, Mr. Mack, people work for people. So, you know, that's why I always invite the invitation. You know, I don't care who the person works for, you know, at the end of the day. You know, we just want to genuinely develop better people. And doing that, we've had some high qualified individuals. Long tenure, the guy that runs Dallas Electrical, Brian Springer, love him to death. He was with his previous employer 20 years.
Wow.
Came to the leadership class and accepted the offer on the next route following Monday. Yes,
and
sir.
It was because of the leadership, the character stuff, right? I mean, y'all absolutely not doing anything different electrical wise than everybody else.
No, sir. Same pipe, wire, and panels, man. Nothing different with that. It's just that's a differentiator, the opportunity for growth and the character development, the culture.
Man, that's good stuff right there. So talk about this too. I know this is something you do well, and I try to help people understand, you know, that if you can't find good people, it's because what all the people in your organization is saying about your organization, and all the people who used to work at your organization are still saying about your organization, even when they leave. So just share a little bit, because I know, and you may not want to talk about this specifically, but it's related. There's people on your Saturday classes who you've had to terminate for some reason, and they still come back, and that's okay too. You still want to help them. You still want to mentor them. But anybody you have to terminate, or anybody that maybe they self-terminate, they choose to go somewhere. Some of those folks who've left you, I see, still get on your calls. But so tell me the importance of how somebody leaves your organization, whether you letting them go or whether they leaving you, but you still involved in it, even if they leaving you. Why is it so important how you care about them as people on the way out the door?
Well, Mr. Mack, I think people leaving your organization is just as important as that you leave on the right way with them as the people inside your organization, because word of mouth advertisement. Because when they get to the next company, they're going to be talking good or bad about you. But when a person choose to fire themselves here at Kilgore, because we don't fire anybody, when they choose to terminate themselves, then we still keep the door open. I still open line of communication. I do it with a very high level of character. And I do it in a way that me and most of those individuals still have communication. They, like you said, they still seek out for character development, still knowing they need to work on some character. And I got some that's done it in hopes to get back into the organization. I got some that have let back in the organization because of it. So I always want to open the door, but I think it's even more important than a word of advertisement inside is the word of advertisement that you get on the outside from previous employers. I mean, previous team members on your team, because that can stop your next superstar from coming to you if they just get over to that person.
Yeah, what the folks are saying is a big deal. So when you talk about that, when you say that, you know, Kilgore doesn't fire the people, they fire themselves, they self-terminate. That's what you're really saying is you clarify expectations. And everybody knows what the expectations are, it's obvious. And if people choose not to live up to the expectations, they're choosing to quit but stay. But you ain't going to allow them to quit and stay. They can quit if they want to, but they ain't going to get to quit and stay at Kilgore, right? And that's what you're saying. If they quit on you, you're going to follow through with their decision to not want to be a participant.
Yes, sir.
Yep. So that's cool. Tell me a little bit. We got some more time, about 10 minutes or so. But tell me, anybody at any level, if they want to work in Kilgore, what qualifies them to work? And I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking to you. I'm talking about the electrical construction division. And you can talk, I mean, you guys are a large MEP. Y'all got mechanical and plumbing. So there's other opportunities. You don't run that part of the company. So I'm really talking about you and your team. If somebody's listening out there in the world and they're in electrical construction and they already in the Texas area, or they were to want to potentially move to the Texas area, what is it about those people that would make you actually consider hiring them? And what are red flags that would cause you not to be interested at all?
Yeah, well, Mr. Mack, is I can tell you like this. Anybody who would come try to get hired at Kilgore Industries with some type of character development, leadership development, books, a list of books they've read, in an interview, that'd be the quickest way, you know, to get employed at Kilgore Industries, because we look at character at a very high level. That's the highest level, because we can teach everybody how to run pipe, hang duct, you know, set toilets. You know, we can teach anybody that, you know, but we can't teach everybody how to act when we're doing it, Mr. Mack. So we seek high character individuals here at Kilgore that's going to come in and do what they say. We got some beliefs. Do what we're going to say we're going to do. Don't be greedy. You know, we have beliefs and expectations built into our organization that as long as anybody can come in and be aligned with those, they can achieve high success here at Kilgore. But a red flag, if you come in and you're going against that or creating a negative environment on the job site or our office, you probably have a short tenure. You probably fire yourself pretty quick here at Kilgore.
Okay. All right. So that's pretty good. I want to mention you guys have traveling type stuff too, right? Tell me,
yes,
about
sir, all of the United
how
States.
Did that start, or what is that, and how does that work in your division?
Well, however, it's back, you know, we believe in going where the customer's at. You know, we got customers that do national work. So went to Jeff again, great leader. Jeff said, go where your customers go, as long as it's profitable. You know, that's the thing with Jeff. I love him to death. He don't care about, you know, how big the company is. He just cares about us being profitable and being, you know, being able to stay in business, Mr. Mack. You know, you can't stay in business if you ain't profitable. So he always supports me in any endeavor I have, as long as it's a profitable endeavor. So, you know, going across the United States, we have customers. We worked in several franchises across the United States. I even have people in Canada, you know, so we'll go do electrical work anywhere in wherever our customers go.
That's phenomenal. You got a couple of master's licenses yourself, don't you?
Yes, sir. I got a few. I think I got about six right now.
About six. Does that mean six different states?
Yes, sir. Six different states.
Man, you tearing it up. So I really appreciate, you know, what you've done since I've been mentoring you. I mean, you and I have a really, I love you to death, man. We have a, we got a really close relationship, and it's because you've been delivering what I look for, ROI. It's return on my investment. And specifically with people that I mentor, is that first of all, you got to be growing and developing and leading yourself and trying to get better. And then the really, really good folks that I mentor are trying to help other people do that same thing. And, you know, I know last year, you led your Saturday classes. You led them through my book, 10 Foundational Elements of 10 Foundational Elements of Intentional Transformation. And you went through those 30 chapters. And that was a powerful, really look at yourself in the mirror hard. But not only did you lead them through it, what else did you do during that time as you modeled it, literally?
Yes, sir. Well, I led myself through a little weight loss, Mr. Mack. So long in my life, I've focused on the six master license and stuff like that. But going through that book, I told you I wanted to, you know, that book was about looking inside yourself, you know, and find out something you can fix and improve yourself. So me, it was a weight loss journey. You know, I think I'm up to about 7 to 8 pounds, getting close to 80 pounds weight loss now.
Wow.
You know, Congratulations. Feel a whole lot better. Don't have to take blood pressure medicine no more. So just feel a whole lot better, Mr. Mack. But there again, you know, that book, it made me look in the mirror and find there's something I needed to change and make myself better. And then that allowed me to be a better leader for my team because they could see that, you know, I worked on myself and, you know, I'm doing everything I'm trying to, you know, doing what I'm preaching, Mr. Mack.
Yeah, you are. And we were out there with you. You know, not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, seems like maybe a month. I can't remember, but I know Quayla, your wife, and she's looking awesome. She's lost some weight. So your journey's rubbing off on her. She comes to the Saturday classes. It ain't just about work, right? Your children saw you do that. Your children saw you lead yourself well. Your teammates saw you. Your customers saw you. Jeff saw you. Everybody sees you. That's just another example of modeling, right? I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to lead myself well. None of us are ever going to be perfect. But we all striving to get better, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I thank my wife for that. You know, a lot. You know, she keeps me grounded. Like I said, she travels everywhere with me. So she keeps me in line with my eating habits now.
Okay. So we're getting ready to wrap up here, but I don't know if it still holds true, but maybe it does. But when you read my book, 10 Values of High Impact Leaders, you told me after that was your favorite book that I had written. And it was because of the difference between success and significance. So I'd like you to just say what that means to you, the difference between success and significance. You as a person, but you as a leader of a pretty good size organization you build in there.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, Mr. Mack. So I've always been the guy, you know, until that book, and I called you that day and it hit me like a freight train, that chapter. I always been focused on success. You know, I got six master license, I ain't got a big house. We got a nice little house and, you know, the air got a couple things nice. And I just, you know, credentials for myself. I always would focus on myself. But then I found out what significant was. Significance is helping other people. You know, once you become successful, it's reaching back down the mountain and pulling other people up with you. And I found, Mr. Mack, the great success I've endured is when, you know, one of my guys passed his master license that I've been working on. One of my guys got his German license I've been working on. Michael Tim got elected into this big emerging leaders thing nationwide, you know, that brings significance. He just wrote me a long message, you know, about just being thankful for that and the opportunity, Mr. Mack. And that's significance. You know, that's the people, that's when you look out at your funeral, you got a lot of people out there. You know, success is going to put you probably out there by yourself. You know, significant to put you with a crowd. You know, when you help others, you leave behind a legacy that outlives you. You know, success can die with an individual, but significant lives forever. You know, it's a legacy with people. So I want to live forever with people, Mr. Mack. I want to create a legacy. That's why I chose significance over success.
That's awesome. So anybody listening, you can go to bluecollarleadership.com/download and preview excerpts from a lot of these books that I've been mentioning that Jason's been reading. And he's read a whole lot more than the ones I'm talking about. And he's read a whole lot more than even the ones that me or Rhea wrote. He's reading from a lot of people. So did I miss anything before we finish this up? Is there anything about Kilgore or yourself or your team you want to share?
No, I just want to leave everybody knowledge with a quote that y'all put in, that Rhea put in her book that I wrote is never let your competency be higher than your character. You know, so many individuals, even at my level, you know, done got all your degrees and certifications, and you know, your comps is real high. But your character ain't as high as your comps. And that stunts your growth. You know, so I would empower, you know, everyone, you know, at all levels to always work on the character side. You know, if you're working on the comp side at a very high level, guess what? You got to work on your character side even harder. So just want to leave everybody in the audience with never let your comps be higher than your character. Thank y'all.
All right. That's some good stuff. And thank you, Jason, for taking time out. I'm going to let you get back to your team. They're going to be eating all the fish up before you get out there.
Yes, sir. No problem.
So everybody who's listening to the Blue Collar Leadership audio version, again, you can go watch this on the Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel. It'll be there. There's a playlist for interviews. There'll be a link to it there as well. So anyway, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you being here, Jason. Talk to you next time.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit bluecollarleadership.com to learn about Max books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.